We glorify his name. What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
It's the most powerful name that's ever been spoken, that's ever been given. Mary and Joseph didn't even get to pick it out. Send an angel, make sure you name him Jesus. You know what this weekend is? It's Pentecost weekend. Do you know that? The church was birthed, was born on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. You know what Pentecost is in the Jewish calendar? It's a celebration of the first harvest of wheat. They celebrate the wheat harvest on Pentecost, and it was a God-ordained feast of the Jewish people. They celebrated the results of farming. My grandparents understood what it was to grow up in an agricultural environment. They depended on agriculture, farming, to survive. It wasn't a hobby. It was survival. Actually, I remember growing up on Corinth Road, and when I was a little kid, we milked cows. We did not have all the machinery. We had this machinery. We milked cows, and there were not very many. We didn't do it. My parents just did it for what we would use, and what we didn't use, we put in milk cans, and we took the milk cans and set them up on the road, and the milk truck came down the road, and they picked them up and took them to Kraft, and they made cheese with the leftovers, what we didn't use. So every house on Corinth Road when I was a kid that I remember milked cows. And agriculture was a way of life in my childhood. So I want to show you today as we start this two-part farming series. Look on the big screen because I've got a picture that really kind of sets the stage for where we're going. That's us when I was a kid. I think we could use a laugh these days. Green Acres, yeah. Yeah, that's Green Acres. When I grew up, my grandparents had a huge garden. Even in their latter years, it was such a way of life for them that even in their latter years, they couldn't imagine not having a big garden. And I grew up also gardening under the authority of my mom and dad. And I say under the authority because that was the only way I would garden as a child. And I remember chopping out the green beans, hated chopping out green beans. Janet and I grew up gardening too. When we got married, we planted a garden, a pretty big garden in the early years, and I got to traveling a lot in my job, and that kind of disappeared. And we're actually growing a garden again this year. Why am I bringing all that up today? The Bible reveals an agricultural farming reality. They farmed to survive. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a two-part series. It begins today with called Farming. Next Sunday is called Advanced Farming. And I'm going to tell you, you do not want to miss what's going to happen next week here. You see, not just in Bible times did they farm, but the generations before us, my grandparents, they farmed to survive. And now, in our day, we have mega farms that produce mega food, and we buy it in mega stores, and people have forgotten that farming is how you survive. If you don't eat, let me tell you something. If you don't eat, you're going to die. If you don't eat, you're going to die. And farming is how we eat. Sowing and reaping, springtime and harvest, this is the foundation of human life. It is the foundation of survival itself. God established an order. And I want you to understand this. I wonder how many people in the church don't even realize this. God established this order called farming after the flood of Noah. And everyone on earth has lived under this God-established farming order up until today. I want to read to you. This is after the flood. Noah's getting off the boat, and God's making this new world order. And here we go. Genesis 8:22, the word of God. As long as the earth remains, now you need to understand, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Planting and harvest, it's called farming. It's the way us humans survive. Farming is how we survive physically. But what about spiritually? Is there a type of farming that can reveal how to survive spiritually? If there is no farming, there is no eating. And if there's no eating, you're going to die. Is this also true for spiritual farming? Is there a spiritual food that must also be farmed and consumed to prevent death, to prevent spiritual starvation? Yes. Today we're going to do some spiritual farming as revealed by Jesus himself so that we might survive. Why? Why are we going to do some spiritual farming today? Because we're living in a world that is absolutely coming unplugged. We're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. You're not sitting that far apart from each other because of no reason. There's rioting in the streets of America. There is unrest. There's insecurity. There's fear. There's anxiety. Drug use is going through the roof. People are on all kinds of medications. People are drinking more than ever before. Why? There's a spiritual hunger. Spiritual thirst. Something's not right. You need the spiritual food inside your soul. Today we're going to do some spiritual farming. Anybody ready to do some spiritual farming? Say amen.
Amen.
Mark 4 verse 3. The name above all names tells you how to farm spiritually. Here's what he says. Jesus says this. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds, they came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil and underlying rock. We got a lot of that in Anderson County. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. Now you must understand that Jesus is addressing in this scene an agricultural farming community. And they absolutely understand the concept of sowing and reaping and planting and harvesting, because that's the only way they got. They don't have any mega stores. They don't have any mega farms. They understand every word out of his mouth. So let's examine the fundamentals of this farming story of Jesus. A farmer went out to plant some seed. Now, I want you to understand, the creator of the universe is telling a farming story. A farmer goes out to plant some seed. Some of the seeds fell on a footpath, and birds came and ate it. Now, here's what's important. No crop is coming from those seeds. Zero crop is coming from the seeds on the footpath. And some of the seeds fell on shallow, rocky soil, and they sprouted, but they withered under the hot sun and they died. Now, no crops coming from those seeds either. And some seeds fell among thorns and they grew up alongside the thorns, but the thorns eventually overtook the plants and they choked out all of their life and they died, and no crop comes from those seeds. There's something consistent in all three of these seed, these soil encounters. There's no fruit. There's no crop. We got a zero. There's no return on the investment to the farmer that sowed the seed. Zero. Why is Jesus telling this story? But there's one more chance. One more chance to get a crop in Jesus' story. Actually, it's the reason for farming in the first place. Verse 8. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, and they grew, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. And then he said, and then Jesus said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Do you remember last week? I hope you were here last week, and I surely hope you can remember at least 7 days. That word from Jesus last week, Ephatha. Ephatha. It is to be opened. And what's Jesus say? Anyone with ears to hear should hear and understand. Anybody who's got ears that's listening, be open to hear what I'm telling you about this spiritual farming. There's a reason for farming. The seeds sprouted. They grew to maturity and they produced a crop, an abundant crop, 30, 60, 100 times more than the one seed that was planted. Now I'll ask you again, why would Jesus tell this story? Why would Jesus then say, anyone with ears to hear should listen? Doesn't everybody have ears to hear? Has everybody got ears? Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Is it possible? Everybody listen. Is it possible that the ear to hear people are actually the fertile soil people? Are you getting me? I'm going to say it again. I'll do it slower. Is it possible that anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand are actually the fertile soil in Jesus' story? They are the fertile soil. Did everyone get it? Jesus is telling a farming story to a farming community. Did everybody get it? Do you get it? I mean, really get it. Spiritual food, Jesus' power, Ephatha, open my eyes, my ears, my heart. Do you get it? This particular parable of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Mark actually does something. It gives us Jesus' answer to why he tells parables in the first place. Jesus is going to reveal something that very few are going to be able to understand about this farming story, even today. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God's going to Ephatha, that he's going to do a supernatural move. If you're in the audience or you're online, it doesn't matter. I'm going to pray for everybody. Because he said, anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand. Well, the only way you're going to get ears to hear is if he gives you ears to hear. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would, Ephatha, you would do a supernatural move in this room or online, that you would open our ears so that the story will become real. Spiritual food that will keep us from starving to death spiritually while the world falls apart around us. And I pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Be open. Mark 4, verse 10. Later, after he tells the farming story, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around him, they asked Jesus what the parables meant. You know what they're saying? What's the deal with the farming story? They ask him. They're privately now. They're not in the big crowd. They're kind of off to the side. What's the deal with the farming story? He replied, you are permitted to understand. He's not in the big crowd anymore. You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders. Anybody hear me? But I use parables to outsiders. You're an insider. You got ears that hear. Why? This is really big. I'm going to tell you, this is really big. So the scriptures. Why are you doing this? Why do you got insiders and why you got outsiders? Why you got people here and people can't hear? Why do you talk to parables in the crowds and you explain it to the small group? So the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they'll learn nothing. And when they hear what I say, they'll not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. In other words, if they hear and see, if they experience epaphtha, they'll turn to me and I'll forgive them. Jesus has chosen 12 disciples, and they were given the supernatural ability to understand the secret to spiritual farming. Why is it a secret? Come on. Why is it a secret? Why is it a mystery? Why can't everyone see, and why can't everyone understand this farming thing of Jesus? So that the scripture might be fulfilled. I wonder how many of you are getting it so far. It gets better. Why? He answers the question so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Then the next logical question is, what scripture? What is Jesus fulfilling? What scripture is Jesus talking about? There will be people who will see Jesus' works and learn nothing. They will hear Jesus' words and understand none of it. What scripture? What scripture is Jesus talking about? Do you want any spiritual food today? Because I'm going to tell you, here it is. You're going to starve to death without this. This is the bread of life itself. Do you want some spiritual food? The prophet Isaiah lives about 700 years before the time of Christ. Isaiah has, I don't even know how to describe Isaiah's encounter with God. Isaiah is lifted up to the throne of God and he sees God in some heavenly form. I don't know how he saw what he saw and survived. But anyway, he sees God on his throne, okay? 700 years before the time of Christ. Now, I'm going to connect the farming story to what Jesus said about, because the scriptures have to be fulfilled. What scripture? 700 years before Christ, Isaiah is raised to see God. Isaiah 6, verse 5. He's seeing God. And Isaiah said, it's all over. I'm doomed. I'm going to die. For I am a sinful man, and I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips, and yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then God does a supernatural work to Isaiah. God sends an angel with authority to do something that no man can do for himself. What's Isaiah's condition? Isaiah thinks, I'm going to die. And here comes an angel. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim, that's an angel, flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And he touched my lips with this burning coal that he took from the altar of God with a set of tongs. He said, he touched my lips and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. And listen, this is big. Your sins are forgiven. Holy fire from the holy altar of God touched Isaiah's lips. Don't miss this. The angel told Isaiah, in that touching moment, your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven. That's why you're not going to die. What does all this have to do with Jesus' farming story? Everything. This is the reason for Jesus' farming story. Jesus's farming story is to fulfill what happens next to Isaiah after he sees God, after he's afraid he's going to die, and after the angel touches his lips. What happens next? That's the reason Jesus tells the farming story. Verse 8. And then I heard the Lord. Now he's been touched by the fire from the altar. He's not going to die. He's forgiven. And then he said, I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am. I'd be thinking I'd keep my head down about that point. And instead he says, here I am, send me. You've touched me, send me. And he said, the Lord said, yes, Isaiah, go. And say to this people, are y'all ready for this? You ready for some spiritual food? And say to the people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. That looks like the opposite of Jesus' apatha to me. This is be closed instead of be opened. Do you see it? I don't want you to answer out loud. Do you see it? Do you hear it? Do you understand this mystery of spiritual farming? God is telling Isaiah about the seeds that are going to fall on a footpath. Anybody hear me? God is telling Isaiah about the seeds that are going to fall on a footpath, about the seeds that are going to fall on rocky soil, about the seeds that are going to fall among thorns. These unfruitful seeds represent people that will never see, they will never hear, and they will never understand Jesus' farming story. And Jesus' farming story is the fulfillment of this Isaiah at the throne of God event. Do you doubt me? Do you doubt what I just said? Let me read Jesus' explanation again, some 700 years after Isaiah's encounter with God on the throne. So I'm going to read Mark 4, 11 through 12 again. See if you can connect them. See if you can see the connection. Jesus replied, you are permitted to understand the secret to the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders. So the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. And when they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they would turn to me and be forgiven. And what is the seed? Now, here's where all this is going. You got to understand that Jesus explains the reason for parables as the fulfillment of Isaiah's scripture. So here's the next logical question. What is the seed that the farmer goes out to sow? Because that's where this is all going. What is the seed that the farmer goes out to sow? Do you see it? Can you hear it? Can you understand it? Do you believe it? This is it. I'm holding it in my hand. This is the seed that the farmer goes out to sow. And some are going to see it, and some are going to hear it, and some are going to understand it. What if you don't? He says, otherwise, if you don't see and you don't hear and you don't understand this seed, otherwise they would turn to me and be forgiven. You see, I'm convinced that if you really see this, you really understand this, and you really believe this to be true, you would fall on your face before God. I remember several weeks ago, I preached a countdown sermon. And in that countdown sermon, it became so clear to me that God's revelation to Daniel was so precise on the first coming of Christ. On what day? What day? On Palm Sunday, he walks into Jerusalem. Exactly on the date that Daniel had announced hundreds of years in advance. And I remember saying in that sermon, if you believed any part of this message today, you would fall on your face before God. And if you believed any part of this, you would fall on your face before God. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. It gets better. Jesus then breaks down the spiritual story, farming story, in a way that will surely, everybody's going to understand it, right? What Jesus is about to do, now everybody's, okay, I didn't get it before, I get it now. Everybody's going to get it now. No, 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 they're not. No, they're not. And not everybody's going to get it today either. This is so big. What I'm about to read to you is so big. It's spiritual farming revealed. Next week, it's going to go to advanced farming. I'm going to say it again. You don't want to miss what's going to happen here next week. The secret mystery of the kingdom of heaven is about to be revealed. And I wonder how many people here and how many people online are actually going to understand it. Mark 4:13. And then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, this farming story, a farmer goes out to sow some seed. If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. This is it. Do you get it? Last week I told you, if you can't hear, you won't be able to speak. Remember, he fathered a deaf man so the man could speak, and then nobody could shut up. But if you can't hear, you'll never be able to speak. The deaf man, the deaf will hear, and the mute will speak. Why? Because the deaf have encountered the seed. Do we know what the seeds are? In the story of farming, do we know what the seeds are? Let's start with this. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Bible I hold in my hand. And I know for a fact there are people probably in this room right now that still do not accept that this is God's Word. All of it, God's Word, the seed. Now Jesus is going to break down the farming story in detail. Let's see if everybody gets it. Verse 15, the seed that, he's already told the story. And now he's told the reason he tells the story. And now he's going to give the breakdown of the story. If you don't get it after all this, you're probably not going to ever get it. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. He snatches, what's he take away? The message, the word. Who's snatching it? Satan. The seed is the word of God, and the footpath are people who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take the word out of their heart. Maybe it's unbelief, maybe it's fear, I don't know, he just does it. The word of God is designed, listen carefully, I hold in my hand the seed that Jesus referred to. It is designed to bear fruit, to produce a crop. It's a perfect seed. It is a supernatural multiplication of fruit. This, I hold, is a multiplying seed. It's perfect. So I'm going to ask you a question. This is where you're going to participate today. You just didn't know it yet. Actually, I'm going to ask you two questions. Is there any fruit attached to this first person in Jesus' farming story? The footpath person's life. Is there any fruit, any crop in his life? No. Is this, here's where it gets really interesting. Don't say it out loud. Don't say it out loud. You'll get in trouble if you say it out loud. Is he saved or lost? He heard the message. Did you hear me? He heard the message. He heard the message. And Satan came and snatched it from him. No fruit. Is he saved or lost? So let's, okay. Look at seed number two. The rocky soil people. Verse 16. Jesus is going to explain it. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately received the message with joy. Yeehaw! I heard the message. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems. They fall away as soon as they're persecuted for believing God's word. They fall away when times get a little hard, maybe a pandemic, maybe when they start rioting in your town. Again, the seed is the word of God, the message of God. And the rocky soil people are different than the footpath people. Did you notice? These rocky soil people hear and receive the message, the word of God. But they never, what's their problem? They never grow to maturity. This is a farming story. Baby plants don't produce fruit. They have to grow up to mature plants to produce fruit. Jesus tells us that these rocky soil people do what some people say you can never do. They fall away. I thought you couldn't do that. They fall away because trouble and opposition to the word of God comes into their life. Let me give you an example. That's what happens to the prosperity gospel people. Because prosperity gospel people, they say, well, you come to Jesus, all your problems are gone. You'll have that big car, and you'll have that big house, and you'll have that big family, and you'll have that big smile, and everything will be fine. And the next thing you know, you're in a pandemic, and you're looking at the preacher and say, you lied to me. They fall away when trouble comes. But what is the opposition that the world is opposing? This rocky soil person falls away under opposition. What's the opposition? What's the opposition to? The seed. This. They're not necessarily opposing you until you believe this. But when you believe this, the opposition comes. The word of God is designed to bear fruit, supernatural multiplication of fruit. It is a multiplying seed. So I'm going to ask you the same two questions. Here comes the two questions. Is there any fruit attached to the rocky soil person's life? No. Is the rocky soil person saved or is he lost? Let's go to the next person. The thorny soil person. As I read this next part, notice that all three, the footpath, the rocky soil, and the thorns, hear God's word. Somebody sowed that into their life. They heard it, went in their ears. They have all been exposed to Jesus. They have all been exposed to the truth. They have all been exposed to the word. The seed has entered their realm. Verse 18, let's go see this guy. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message, which is God's word, is crowded out by what? What's it crowded out? Oh, it's competition now. It's crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth and the desires for other things, so no fruit is produced. This one is not about Satan. Listen, this one's not about Satan's quickly snatching away the truth. This one is not about shallow roots that can't stand up to opposition and the troubles of life. No. This one is more internal than external. This one's about being torn between two masters. This one's about being torn between two life purposes. That I'm torn between the world and God, the now and the eternal. Only thinking about today and never thinking about what happens after this day and this life is over. The worries of life and the deceitful lure of wealth crowd out the word of God's seeds until there's no room for fruit. Everybody listen. three characters. And so far, are you ready? The farm has failed. There's no crop. This farm has failed. There's no crop for the farmer. The farm has failed to produce fruit. The Word of God is designed to produce fruit, to bear a crop. Supernatural multiplication of fruit. It's the seed is a supernatural multiplier. But so far it's failed. I'm going to ask you this question. Is there any fruit attached to this thorny soul person's life? No. Okay, you know what I'm going to ask next. Is he saved or is he lost? Let's go to the last person in Jesus' farming story. The good soil person. Verse 18. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept. Hear and accept. Hear and accept the heart. It must travel down into the heart. It must go through your ears, it's got to go into your mind, it's got to go to your heart until it becomes your core belief. They hear and accept God's word. The seed is God's word. They hear and accept. So it gets planted in you. The word gets planted inside of you. Not on the outside of you. Not something you don't pick up the seed on Sunday. It gets planted inside of you. And it produces a harvest. Listen, 30, 60, even 100 times as much has been planted. The good, fertile soil people hear and accept God's word. These people accomplish the work of the seed. They multiply. What is the work of the seed? Multiply. What is the work of the seed in Jesus' story? Well, I can tell you my opinion. Forget about your opinion. What is the purpose of the seed? It is to multiply. 30, 60, 100 times over that which is planted. The Word of God is designed to bear fruit, supernatural fruit. Is there any fruit attached to this good soil person's life? Yes, 30, 60, 100 times. Is the good soil person saved or is he lost? You don't have any trouble with this guy, do you? You don't want to say out loud the other three. But this guy, is he saved or lost? Well, he's saved. Is he saved because he bears fruit? Or does he bear fruit because he's saved? Which one? Are you listening? He's not saved because he bears fruit. He bears fruit because he's saved. Because the seed always bears fruit in fertile soil. So the question you don't want to answer is the footpath person saved or lost? Is the rocky soil person saved or lost? Is the thorny soil person saved or lost? Well, let me change it. Is everyone saved? Can we just smile? Is everyone saved? I guess that would depend upon your idea of farming. There was only one group of people that allowed the supernatural seed, the word, to do what it is supernaturally intended to do. Multiply and produce a bountiful harvest for the farmer. And where do you think these seeds come from? One last scene to put all this farming stuff together today. One last scene from Jesus to clear up any confusion about whether or not this non-producing footpath, non-producing rocky soil, non-producing thorny people are saved or lost. Because you know what? I can get a million opinions about whether those three guys are saved or whether they're lost. And none of those opinions are going to amount to anything compared to the Word of God. Truth. By the way, Jesus is also the one telling this farming story. I'm about to jump over to the Gospel of John. Another farming story, but the same Jesus. In John 15, 1, Jesus says this, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit." Anybody see a connection here? My Father, the gardener, he cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches so that they, he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned. You've already been purified by what? By the message I have given you. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. God planted a supernatural grapevine in Jerusalem. God the Father is the gardener, and Jesus is the supernatural grapevine planted by God in Jerusalem. They actually put this seed in the ground in Jerusalem for 3 days. Jesus tells us clearly that God the Father, the gardener, is going to cut off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. Anybody listening? He's going to cut off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. The Father's going to prune every branch that does bear fruit. Why? To make it more fruitful, 30 and 60 and 100 times. What is this pruning and purifying power of God? I've been reading it to you all morning. The Word. It prunes you. You know that when you read this, you know you're getting pruned. When you come listen to this word, you're getting pruned. I don't like being pruned. He snips, 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 snipping thing. I don't like it. That's how you bear fruit. He prunes me. When I read this, he prunes me. He reshapes me. He wants me to bear fruit. Remain in me, Jesus said. Listen carefully to my words as if they are life and death, because they are life and death. Remain in me, because you can never produce fruit apart from Jesus. And Jesus is the Word of God. Remain in Jesus, remain in the Word, remain in the seed. Are you convinced yet? There's more. Next verse, verse 5. Jesus says, "Yes, I am the vine. You're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." Now, I got to stop for a second on that. Will produce much fruit. If you remain in him and he in you, you're going to bear fruit. You don't have to spend your life all stressed out about producing fruit. Just relax. Just relax and allow his supernatural seed to produce in you the harvest that he desires. So many people in the church, they want to produce fruit. They want to produce fruit. But you produce some fruit by your power is meaningless junk fruit. It's meaningless. Just abide in him and he abides in you, and the supernatural work. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's not you doing it. It's him doing it. Because if it's you doing it, you're faking. If it's him doing it, it's what the Father sent the seed to do. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is big. You will naturally produce fruit. Are you hearing me? If you will just simply abide in him and him in you, put the seed in you, receive the seed. You will naturally produce fruit if you remain in Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect seed. He is the perfect grapevine. But what if you don't stay connected to this supernatural grapevine? What if you allow Satan to convince you that the seed is not the Word of God? What if you don't put down deep roots and then trouble comes? And what if you get worried and you get distracted about the cares of this world and this pandemic, and I don't know if my job's gonna last, and I don't know what's gonna happen, we're all gonna die? What are you gonna do? Next verse. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Do you really need me to tell you what that verse means? This is not the prosperity gospel. This is the real save your soul from hell gospel. That's what this one is. This farming thing is all for God's glory and for your good. God is a good father, and the seeds are perfect seeds, and you and I need spiritual food or we're all going to die. Are you hearing me? If we don't get this spiritual food, we're all going to die. Spiritual starvation is what's causing the rioting in America. Spiritual starvation is at the root of this pandemic. Spiritual starvation is at the root of all the troubles of man. The absence of the Word is the absence of Christ. And the presence of Christ is what we need right now. John 15:7, next verse. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it'll be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. When you are connected to this true grapevine, you will ask the Father for what brings him glory, not what brings you glory. People read this sentence. When you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask me for anything and it's granted. And they think, see, I prayed for this and I prayed for that and he didn't give it, so this isn't true. See, the problem is when you're in him and he's in you, what you're praying for is already the will of the Father. It's already the will of the Father because you're not producing your work anymore. That's that old prayer you used to pray. You're producing his work, which was his perfect will in the first place, accomplishing the purpose of the seed. When you are connected to this true grapevine, you will ask the Father for that which brings glory to the Father. Much fruit. That's what the Father's expecting from these perfect seeds, a supernatural crop. Much fruit. This brings great glory to the Father and brings spiritual food to us, even unto eternal life. And I beg you today, I use the word carefully, I beg you today, in the room or in the audience online, I beg you today, do not be the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Instead, be Isaiah's position instead of his prophecy. And what was his position? I want to read it. It'll be the last scripture today. Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah's listening to the God's assembly. And he's listening to the word of God. And he says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll go sow seeds. And I'll let you put your seed in me so that I can then put the seed that you gave me into somebody else's life. And they'll put the seed that into somebody else's life. And listen, listen carefully. Understand this. I know that when I sow these seeds that God gave me, some people aren't going to hear. Breaks my heart. Some people are going to be the footpath. And some people are going to be the rocky soil. And some people are going to be thorns. And I don't know which one's which. And because I don't know which one's which, listen carefully, because I don't know, I got to sow seeds everywhere. But I know. That a lot of the seed that I sow, that you're going to sow, that he gave me, which is this, some of them aren't going to make it. But we keep sowing seeds.
we keep sowing seeds. Do not be the footpath person today. What happens? Satan comes and steals what? This. Do not be the rocky soil person today or the thorny soil person today that refuses to grow to spiritual maturity and refuses to suffer under opposition. Grit your teeth and say, this is it. I'm not backing down. I'm not backing up. I'm not going along. This is it. You're not getting my seed. Amen, brother. You're not getting it. It's not for sale. It's not up for negotiation. I believe this seed is supernatural. I'm not giving you my seed. I'll give it to you in a testimony. I'll give it to you in a sermon. But I'm not giving it up. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll ask Chad to come out today for the invitation. Would you dare say that today to God? And by the way, he can tell if you're a faker. And if you're a faker, don't say it. It'll be worse for you. Would you dare say to God, here I am, send me. But understand that when you go out, everything you do is not going to bear fruit. But you sow seeds anyway. There'll be some rocky soil. There's going to be some thorny people. There's going to be a lot of thorny people. There's going to be some seeds that come up. There's going to be some seeds that are going to die. But we keep sowing seeds. Why? Because the Father has placed a supernatural seed inside of us. And it's his will that it goes around the world. Would you today, have you for sure said to God what Isaiah said? Here I am. Send me. We're going to offer an invitation. Maybe today's your day. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will do what you do. Only you do. Supernatural power of you. Let the wind blow. On Pentecost, the wind blew. The church took birth. Father, awaken your church. Your church has fallen asleep, Lord. Awaken your church. Let the fire come, Lord. Put power in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand. The invitation's open.